sisters, good morning. So today we are going to talk about David and Goliath.
今天我们要谈一下大卫和哥利亚的故事。
The title is The Battle is the Lord's.
标题是征战在耶和华。
So when people hear David and Goliath, they think, oh yes, the children's story.
所以当人们听到大卫和哥利亚的时候，他们会想，啊，这是一个童话故事吧。
But this is not a children's story.
这不是一个童话故事。
First, it was not written for children.
首先，它这个故事不是给孩子们写的。
What children's story has the winner cutting off the loser's head at the end?
什么童话故事在故事的最后有胜者把败者的头给砍下来的呢？
Cinderella?
难道是灰姑娘吗？
What would that sound like?
那听起来会怎么样？
Cinderella married the prince, and they lived happily ever after.
灰姑娘与王子结婚，然后从此以后幸福快乐的生活在一起。
Then they cut off the wicked stepmother's head.
然后他们把他们邪恶的继母的头砍了下来。
No, that's not the way the children's story goes.
大卫和哥利亚一切就不是被童话故事的范畴。
Also, David and Goliath is not a children's story because it's not a story.
其次，大卫和哥利亚的故事不是一个童话故事，是因为它本身不是一个故事。
It's a historical event.
它是一个历史上发生的事件。
It really happened.
它实际上发生过。
Most importantly, David and Goliath is not a children's story because it was written for each one of us, not just children.
更重要的是，大卫和哥利亚不是一个童话故事，是因为它不只是给孩子们写的，是给我们每个人写的。
God wants to teach each one of us something very important through this historical event.
神希望借着这样的一个历史上真实发生的事件，来教会我们每个人一些非常重要的道理。
This is how it happened.
这是它怎么样发生的。
The Philistines were the enemies of Israel.
以色列是以色列的敌人。
They had attacked and fought against Israel for more than 200 years.
他们当时已经攻击欺压了以色列将近两百年。
So there was a war between Israel and the Philistines, and the battle took place in the valley of Elah.
所以说，他们中间以色列人和腓力斯人中间爆发了一场战争，这场战争发生在以拉。
So the valley was between two mountains.
这个谷它旁边是两座高山。
The Israelite army was on one mountain on one side.
以色列人他在其中的一座山上。
And the Philistine army was on the other mountain.
腓力斯人在另一座山上。
And there was a flat plain between them.
在两座山中间有一个平原。
They had been there at least 40 days.
他们在那里至少有四十天了。
Why did neither army attack for 40 days?
为什么两边的军队过了四十天都没有主动出击呢？
Well, if one army attacked, they would have to run down their hill, run across the plain, and run up the mountain to where the enemy was.
因为如果一个军队主动出击的话，他们需要先跑下自己的山，冲过平原，然后再冲上另外的一座山。
The attacking army would be at a big disadvantage, trying to run uphill and fight their enemy.
主动出击的那一方，在他们上山打仗的时候，就会处于非常不利的局面。
So neither army wanted to be the first to attack.
所以没有一个军队想要主动出击。
Instead, the Philistines had a great idea.
但是腓力斯人有一个非常好的主意。
Send one representative warrior to fight against a representative warrior from the other army.
他们想派出一个战士的代表。来与另外一方的战士代表来打仗。
This would save lots of time. It's very efficient.
这个会省得许多的时间，省得许多的麻烦，也非常的有效。
The army of the losing representative would then have to surrender to the army of the winner of the one-on-one fight.
输掉那一方的军队的代表，就会那方的军队就需要屈服于另外一方赢的军队。
This sounds very civilized, right?
The
only problem was the representative warrior of the Philistine army was a giant war machine.
唯一的问题就是腓力士派出的战士代表是一个巨大的战争机器。
So, verses 1 to 11, the giant.
然后我们看第一节到第十一节。
The giant was named Goliath. He was over 9 feet tall, which means he was 3 meters tall.
他身高六九零一五口，差不多是九英尺高，九尺高，差不多是三米。He was
tall enough to dunk a basketball without even jumping.
他能够在篮球场上来，在不用跳跃的时候灌篮。
If he was in the NBA today, he would be making millions of dollars.
如果他今天还活着的话，他肯定在NBA里边能够赢好几万百万美金了。He
was wearing about 60 kilograms of armor.
他的铠甲重5000克。And
he had 3 weapons: a sword, a spear, and a javelin.
他有三个武器：一把刀、一支枪，还有一个铜子。
So the spear was held and used to charge against enemy soldiers. The javelin on his back is for throwing at enemy soldiers. And of course, he had a sword for fighting enemy soldiers. He also had a shield, but the shield was carried by a separate guy. So this guy is walking in front of him, holding his shield up to guard
Goliath.
All of these weapons were huge and very heavy. Goliath was a powerful and unstoppable war machine.
对，他说哥利亚是一个非常有力量、无法被遏制的一个战斗机器。He
was like a walking tank.
他就像一个行走的坦克。So
what was Goliath doing?
对，哥利亚在做什么？He
was walking back and forth in front of his army, calling out to the Israelite soldiers.
他在他的军队的前面来回的走。
He was taunting them, challenging them to fight. What were the Israelite soldiers doing? They were running away in fear. So, what does all of this mean for us? Often the Bible uses events to spiritually represent something. So what does this giant represent to us? To the Israelites, he was an enemy that caused them great fear. He was seemingly impossible. So, brothers and sisters, what is your giant? What causes you to fear and seems impossible to overcome? Do you fear getting old and dying? Do you fear insecurity?
你对未来的不确定性感到害怕?
Do you fear failure?
你对失败感到害怕吗?
Do you fear your children's failure?
你自己孩子们的失败感到害怕吗?
Asian parents are so hard on their children because they fear that their children will fail.
大陆的家长们对自己的孩子十分的严格，因为他们非常害怕自己孩子们的失败。
I saw recently on the internet a list of career options for Asian students. So Asian students can be a doctor, or an engineer, or a professor, and if they're anything else, they're a failure and a disgrace to their family.
亚洲的孩子们可以变成一个医生或者工程师或者教授，不然的话，他们就是一家子的耻辱。So
Asian students fear disgracing their family.
亚洲的学生害怕给自己的家族带来耻辱。The
point is that we each fear something or worry about
something.
And that thing we fear seems impossible to overcome. That's your giant. Okay, so next, verses 12 to 30, the shepherd. So, David was the youngest son of Jesse. Jesse had eight sons, and that means David had seven older brothers. So how old was David at this time? Well, the minimum age to enlist in the Israelite army was 20 years old, according to Numbers chapter 1.
根据你初期一章三节来看，如果要被列为以色列的军人，他最小的年纪需要在二十岁。So
the passage tells us that David's three oldest brothers were in the army.
我们看到大卫的三个最年长的兄长在军队里面。They
were all over 20.
对，他们比大卫都大一二十岁。Then
there were four brothers between them and David. So if those four brothers were 19 years old or younger, then David could only have been 15 years old at the most. Maybe some of David's brothers were twins. Or it's possible that David's father had more than one wife, and so his brothers. You know, maybe his brothers were 18, 19 years old all.
So you can David
still could not have been more than 18. So that's why he was a shepherd at home and not a soldier in the army. So David's father sent him to take food to his older brothers in the army. David not only obeyed his father, but he also found a substitute shepherd to watch his sheep while he was gone. This shows how responsible and caring David was about his sheep. David traveled 10 miles from his home in Bethlehem to the battle. When he got there, he saw and heard the giant Goliath shouting at the Israelites. He saw the Israelite soldiers running away from Goliath. And David was shocked. He was not surprised at the size or strength of Goliath. He was surprised that none of the Israelite soldiers were brave enough to stop him. David asks, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
大卫问道,
David was disappointed in the Israelite soldiers because he saw things from God's perspective. Other soldiers focus on the danger of the battle. Or they focused on the material rewards that they could receive from the king if they won. But David focused on the reputation of Israel and the honor of God. Again, what does this mean for us? Well, like David, we should focus on problems and difficulties from God's perspective, not
man's.
We said earlier, the giant represents those things that cause us fear or anxiety. What does David represent? Of course, he represents the one who can help us to overcome our fears. He represents the one who fights our battles for us. He represents the one who brings us victory. Who do you think that is? Jesus. God. Yes. Okay, let's look at the preparation. Someone told Saul how boldly David was talking. And Saul called for David to be brought to him. David immediately volunteered to fight against Goliath. David was not afraid. Was he brave or was he stupid? Neither. David was confident. Why? Because God had prepared David for this. David had spent many hours in the field shepherding. God prepared
him.
David did not spend his time in the field taking selfies and posting them on Instagram, right? He didn't, you know, go to watch the sheep and sit down and pull out his phone and start watching YouTube videos. If you put a 15-year-old student from today in a sheep in a field to watch sheep, how many seconds do you think would pass before they would have their phone out? No, David spent his time practicing with his sling. Talking with God. And protecting his sheep. In the fields, David learned to trust God. Because of this, God gave David the strength and skill to fight off lions and bears.
就是因为大卫的依靠他，所以神就给大卫了能够打飞狮子和熊的力量和技巧。
So David was confident that God would give him the strength and skill to fight off the giant. Again, what does this mean for us? It means God is preparing us for greater victories. You know, God could have just struck Goliath with a lightning bolt. But God didn't do that. If God loved the Israelites, why didn't he just defeat the enemy for them? Well, it's because God loved
Israel.
God, when God does the work for us, we learn
nothing.
But when God does the work through us, we learn to trust
him.
Let me give you an example. Did your parents do your homework for you when you were young? Why not? They didn't love you, did they? No, of course they loved you. They supported you and helped you when you needed it. And they made you sit down and do your homework. Well, God did the same with David. God let David fight the lion and the bear. Why? So David would be ready. So, does God let us struggle with difficulties and problems sometimes? Yes. Why? Because he's helping us to be prepared to face challenges. David faced the giant confidently because he was prepared. And because he trusted God. We can face our giants too if we also trust God. Okay, 41 to 52, the victor. It was time to fight. This is the hard part. It's easy to say, I'll fight the giant. It's much harder to actually do it. The giant marched towards David. Hey, this is a big guy, right? That's easy to march
up.
It's like an earthquake. It makes stands go down. The giant saw David and started shouting insults at David. In response, David shouted back. This is the first recorded instance of trash talking. But David was not just shouting insults. He was shouting his faith in the Lord. David shouted, "The battle is the Lord's." David had his staff in one hand and his sling in the other. When the enemy came near, David didn't run away from the giant, he ran towards the giant. When he got close enough, he took aim with his sling and he started spinning it. And the faster he spun the sling, the more energy and force it accumulated. And the other soldiers who saw Goliath, what did they think? They thought, oh, Goliath is so big, I can't beat him. But David thought, Goliath is so big, I can't miss him. So then David spun his sling and let go. The most important part of this fight was David letting. Because the stone stayed inside the sling until the moment that David This is an important point that we often forget. The victory comes when we Because when we let go, we let God. What was the result? It was a perfect shot. The stone must have had the velocity of a bullet. It says the stone sank into the giant's forehead. And the stone, it killed the giant. But David wanted to completely defeat the enemy, so he ran up, took the giant's sword, and cut his head off. What did the Philistines do? Well, they freaked out and ran away. Why? Well, first, they lied about the deal to surrender to the other army if their champion lost. But second, they completely lost their confidence in their ability to win. They could not defeat an army protected by a God. This God could make a boy defeat a giant. So again, what does it mean for us? God wants to give us the skill and the strength and the confidence to completely defeat our enemies. God wants us to fear nothing. God wants us to trust Him completely. And through this historical event, God shows us we can trust Him to prepare us for spiritual battles. But we also have to remember to let go. And let God have control. God will give us the ability we need to
get the victory over all the giants.
Alright, so earlier I said that David represents the one who won the victory for us, Jesus. Let's look at the similarities between David and Jesus. Both David and Jesus were from Bethlehem. Both David and Jesus were from the tribe of Judah. Both David and Jesus represented their people. Both David and Jesus fought an enemy that was undefeated. Both David and Jesus were sent to the battleground by their father. Both David and Jesus were scorned and rejected by their brothers. Both David and Jesus fought the battle without conventional wisdom or weapons. David and Jesus won the battle, but their enemies did not then give up willingly. Both David and Jesus put their lives in God's hands with complete trust. And finally, both David and Jesus won great victories. David won in the Valley of Elah. Jesus won on the hill of
Golgotha.
Brothers and sisters, God wants to give us victory over our giants. He can and will if we trust
him.
Thank you. 当有梦要引导，想到我如何祷告，可是我跌倒使我起立，耶稣我要依靠你，可是我祷告和妥协你，耶稣我要依靠你，求我每时刻需要你，每时刻需要你，我的
感谢皮特弟兄带给我们的信息。